Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Sophia Pooler, and my guest today is Zach Simpson, In the Know with Zach Simpson. And he's going to talk about upcoming events in the city of Albany. But before we get talking about upcoming events, we just had the election. What do you think of the result
of the general election?
Yep.
The biggest surprise I would think, well, there's two I could think of. One is the race in Colony with the supervisor, Paula Mahan and George Scaringe.
Right.
I think she's currently up by, 60-something votes?
That's it. Yep.
Also there was the Troy mayoral race where Reale got back in and Rodney Wilshire ended up losing.
That race to me is a heartbreaker because, you know, I worked on Rodney's first campaign for mayor. And I know exactly what happened then, and I see what's going on now. And there's a lot that the public doesn't see. And I placed a few phone calls to do interviews, but the people I've reached out to hasn't gotten back to me. But what happened in Troy is not very good. But let's talk about the Colony race for a minute. Were you surprised that it was so close, that it is so close?
I definitely was surprised it was close. I mean, I don't know if it's representative of a trend in Colony that's shifting towards a more Republican demographic. I was surprised that Paula Mahan, a Democrat, was only up by 60-something votes. Were you?
Well, the Scaringe was a while away. Has been, you know, involved in politics for a while. So I really wasn't that surprised. And I guess the outcome will be decided this week. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who could pull it off.
Right. I know that it did get quite contentious between the two campaigns with, you know, accusations about, you know, pensions and double dipping. That could have been a good indicator it was going to be close, that they were going negative towards the end.
Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen this week that you want to talk about?
So this coming week, as you know, I'm a part of CANA, Council of Albany Neighborhood Associations. A couple months ago, Rhonda Hipnarowski, she's a team lead with the American Red Cross, she came to our monthly meeting and talked about this free citizen disaster preparedness training program. It's through, you know, Governor Andrew Cuomo's office and the Red Cross. And what she does is she comes to neighborhood associations and she comes to, you know, neighborhood groups and delivers about a 1.5-hour disaster preparedness training program, and it's also got an active shooter component. And I'm partnering with her on behalf of CANA. We're doing it this Thursday. It's at 6 o'clock at the Pine Hills Library. I hope people that are listening can come and tell your friends. It's free, and at the end of it, you do get a certificate of attendance for attending it. So I hope people come out.
So when you talk about disaster preparedness, what are you talking about, actually?
Well, certainly educating the public about the importance of having a plan of action in place for the event of having a disaster. You know, my father, he worked for 31 years with New York State in disaster preparedness. So I grew up watching my dad you know, respond to disasters. They do happen in New York. You know, just a few I can mention. Do you remember Love Canal in 78, where they built on top of a toxic waste dump? That was a big deal for my dad when he worked for the state of New York. And he also was involved with a lot of other things, like the ice storm of 96, the blizzard of 93. Mm-hmm. Remember there was the big October storm of 87. He worked on TWA Flight 800 when that went down in Long Island Sound. But the big disaster my father worked on his career was 9/11, when we were attacked. Actually, he
was he there?
Yes, he spent about 2 years, the most of 2 years, being at Ground Zero working on the coordinated response.
How is he now? Any health problems?
So he does have some health problems. He did retire after 9/11, after the work he had done. They did offer him a retirement, and he did take it. So he's been retired since 2003. But yeah, he does have some health problems, so which may be associated with being at Ground Zero.
I bet you he has some interesting stories to tell.
Yes, I mean, do you remember where you were at 9/11? I do. I was at UAlbany in the campus center when I heard about it.
Actually, I was working. You know, I was working for the state then, and I had gone to a class that day, and I didn't hear about the attack until 11:45, and by that time they were, you know, sending everybody home, but, you know, the whole world knew about it, and I didn't know about it until 11:45. Of course, I came home and, you know, I put the TV on, and it was shocking. It was really shocking.
Yeah, I was at UAlbany, and they canceled classes, and I actually drove to my parents' house up in Knox, where my mom was, and my dad mm-hmm. called and said, my dad basically said, you're not going to see me for a while, and that was right. I mean, we didn't see him for about 2 years. I mean, he'd come up, you know, sometimes on weekends, but he spent the bulk of his time down at Ground Zero.
Were there a lot of people that developed cancer and died from the exposure to everything that went on, you know?
Well, there was this, I believe there was this fund that was created for, you know, first responders and people, you know, in the vicinity of Ground Zero that have, health effects from it. Yeah, I'm sure people have, you know, unfortunately died from the exposure to toxins at Ground Zero.
So tell us a little bit more about the disaster preparedness seminar that's going to take place.
Yes, so Rodney Hitnarowski with Red Cross is going to go through a PowerPoint presentation, you know, going to talk about a multitude of things, first aid, having an escape plan, things to have on hand in the event of a disaster. And I think the big thing, I'm really looking forward to is the active shooter component because, you know, in this day and age, it's becoming more and more common. And I think we're becoming more and more kind of complacent, you know, because of, you know, and kind of desensitized to, you know, an active shooting situation. So I think everybody should know what to do in a situation like that. So I think that's going to be a really good thing to have for the attendees.
Do you think everybody should own a gun for their own protection?
Do I think everybody should own a gun?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I think it is a enormous responsibility to own a firearm. I think you need to have appropriate training, certainly have the appropriate background checks, But no, I don't think everybody should be able to have a gun for their protection. I definitely, especially if you're clumsy, don't have a gun.
Okay. So you were just talking to me about a minute before we went on the air that you're going to be appointed to the cable access.
It's a little premature. It was about September of 2017 when I was just wrapping up. Actually, it was the eve of the primary of 2017. I was working for Mayor Sheehan's reelection campaign. And I ended up meeting Taisha Ghaffar Ajayi. She was also a volunteer for Mayor Sheehan. And she had a public access television show. Before I met Taisha, I had no idea we had a public access TV show, channel, or a studio here in the city of Albany. So that was new to me. I didn't realize it. But that's when she informed me that the studio had been closed since the end of May. It was September. The studio was closed down to the public. So there was this grassroots community group starting to form called Friends of PEG. So I ended up going to, I think it was the second meeting of the Friends of PEG group, and got to know some folks. You probably know some of the individuals. There's Keith Irish, Mark Gronich, Nancy Benedict, Dennis Carius. Uh-huh. A lot of the people that have been around public access for a long time, they were there. After some time, the studio kept being closed. I ended up giving, I never spoke at the Common Council. I gave three separate public statements advocating for the reopening of the studio because it's such an important resource for us here in the city of Albany, So I was involved with, the advocacy to get the studio back open. I was involved with Friends of PEG. I ended up becoming the co-chair and running the Friends of PEG meetings, and talking about PEG issues, not just here in the city of Albany, but in the state of New York and in other areas of the country. So, but the studio did open back up. I think it was the end of April 2018. The studio opened back up, and the PEG Access Oversight Board, it's the body that oversees the operations of the studio and the work done by the studio coordinator. And they also are supposed to work on community outreach to spread the word and make people knowledgeable about the resource, Channel Albany. The board has been doing really great work. The studio has been back up and running. They've been partnering with Open Stage Media, which is affiliated with Proctor's, to assist with our programming. So that's really good. So I actually interviewed to be on the board on yesterday with the ad hoc committee of the Common Council.
What's the viewership of the cable access TV in Albany?
The viewership, I don't think you can really quantify what the viewership is. I don't think that's really a figure you can do. But if the viewership is low, medium, or high, it's public access. It's a public service. That's why it's important. So, but I can't really foresee what the viewership really is.
Okay. What kind of shows do they have on cable access?
Well, let's see. They have The Jewish View, which is Mark Gronich and Rabbi Nachman Simon. They talk with, county, city officials, public figures. It's like more of a political interview show. Then there's other ones. What other ones is there? There's some religious ones. There's this one that's a Bible study. It's called On Point, and they do a Bible study talking about passages and how they're relevant. Let's see what else. Yeah, you did a show a while back, right?
Yeah, I did maybe four or five episodes. That was at it wasn't aired as quickly as I wanted it to be. So I figured, well, if I'm going to invest time, I wanted it to be aired in a timely manner. And at that point, it wasn't. So, you know, I kind of backed away from that. I kind of like my podcast because, you know, I could just come to the computer, turn it on, call my guests, and I don't have to worry about my makeup looking good or what I'm wearing and stuff. So I feel comfortable doing what I'm doing.
Good. Well, what are the shows they have on there? I think there's one called Peace Now, which is focusing on, peace and spirituality in the world. There's one about LGBT kind of issues and events in the city of Albany. So there's a lot of different programs that showcase our diversity of the city of Albany because, you know, we are an all-American city. So, it's nice seeing an all-American kind of selection of programming on public access.
So what else is going on in Albany?
Well, I mean, there's been the restructuring that's going to be occurring with the Albany Police Department. Are you aware of that issue?
A little bit. Can you kind of elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. So I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, Chief Hawkins of the Albany Police Department, he called a meeting with leadership of the neighborhood associations and community leaders here in the city of Albany. So I attended that meeting where he really gave us a sobering talk about the critical issues with the police department, how they are short many, many officers at the moment. He did talk about how in 2 years, there's going to be a 25% turnover of the entire police department. So we're going to have a lot of new police officers coming on board. So that was also a reason why this restructuring is going to take place. So what they're doing is they are shrinking the size of the neighborhood engagement unit, which is really crucial to community policing here in the city of Albany.
Mm-hmm.
At the highest point, there was 32 officers in the neighborhood engagement unit. Today, I believe it's 19, and they are increasing the size of the boundaries of the neighborhood beats. So basically, each officer is going to have double the size of territory to cover.
I say, are you happy with that?
I have my concerns. I know that one of the components is going to be to ensure that patrol officers are going to, you know, pull their cars over certain times of the day, get out of their cars, and also engage in this team effort with the, so the beat cops and the patrol are supposed to work as a team together in order to continue to facilitate the community policing that is so crucial here. The problem is that this was rolled out with no real input or consultation with ACPAC, Albany Community Police Advisory Committee, as well as neighborhood association leaders. I think the feeling in the room at that time was, why are you coming to us now? You didn't give us an opportunity to have input on this decision, which, you know, community policing, the police, the community work together on decisions. This was kind of this is what's going to work best for you, the community. And I think it was not the best thing to have done. I think the chief realizes that. He did say at the meeting, you know, if that's the case, he owns it. So he took ownership of that. Lieutenant Joseph McDade, he oversees the neighborhood engagement unit. He's actually going to be coming, I'm inviting him to my neighborhood association, the Upper Washington Avenue Neighborhood Association. He's also going to be coming to the Pine Bush Neighborhood Association meetings in December.
Okay.
He
now,
wants
are you
to come,
president?
Oh, sorry.
Are you president of your neighborhood association?
Well, I'm vice president, so eventually one day I will be.
Okay. That's good.
Course.
That's good. And there's neighborhood associations throughout the city?
Yes. There are numerous neighborhood associations, and my goal, because I'm a part of CANA, is to visit every neighborhood association within the first term, because I have a 2-year term on CANA, so I'm going to try to visit every neighborhood and try to get an idea of kind of what structure of neighborhood association they have. Do they meet, you know, every month, every 2 months, every 3 months? Do they have bylaws? And if so, are they similar to the ones I know or different? So I really want to kind of see what everybody else is doing. And so far, every neighborhood association is different. And I like that. They have their own different flair on things.
And they tackle, each one of them tackles different problems, right?
They tackle two different classes of problems. Problems that are absolutely specific to their neighborhood in and of itself. And then there's the problems that overlap with other neighborhoods.
Okay. Wow. So you and I have talked about the Stop the Stories initiative. How's that going?
Stop the Stories is going well. We still are, you know, we meet every week. We talk about the projects. We talk about the 563 project in New Scotland. The big issue we're focusing on right now, though, is the blood plasma clinic issue, which I've talked about in the past. So,
right.
The lawyers for the company that owns Hannaford Plaza sued the city. What happened? The city ended up pulling back the ordinance that was pending in the council. And Chris Spencer, he's the chief planning official, he's putting forth a new amendment to the zoning to allow for the plasma clinics. So we're kind of getting back up and ready for another public hearing. It's going to be 26th of this month. We're going to all go and speak in favor of Mike O'Brien's ordinance. So Mike O'Brien is my councilman. He's got an ordinance before the council as well right now. For specific amendments to the zoning regarding these plasma clinics. And he's calling for a 1,000-foot setback from any residential home, any school, any park, which I'm advocating for that. There should be some setback for these type of facilities.
So we also talked in the past about that project in Gilderland. How's that coming along?
You're talking about the Pyramid Project, Crossgates Mall?
Yep.
So there was the draft scope for the Positive Secret Declaration where I think it was about 37 different, like, groups and individuals commented about the draft scope, which kind of stipulates what areas they're going to focus on when they do the full Positive Secret Declaration. Look at the environmental impacts, look at, you know, the traffic concerns, look at a lot of different issues. So the town planner for Gilderland, Ken Kowalczyk, had made some revisions, some amendments in light of the public comments. I don't think the revisions are sufficient. I don't think he took into account everything that the public has said. So I will be speaking up about that at the next Town of Gilderland Planning Board meeting.
And when's that going to be?
I don't think it's been scheduled quite yet, but I'll keep you in the loop.
Okay, that would be terrific. You know, you come on Focus on Albany, and you talk about a lot of stuff that's going on, you know, meetings and groups and initiatives and stuff. And I know Danielle Hilly does, you know, a lot for the community. Zach Garofalo does a lot for the community. Mm-hmm. But I find that there's a lot of people who are just like not really involved. What do you say to those people? I think there should be more community involvement. What do you think? And if so, how do you get these people engaged?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times people end up becoming engaged when there is an issue that is in front of their face that they don't particularly like or disagree with. And that's usually mm-hmm. the spark. That's usually that little spark that ignites, you know, the flame and gets the fire going. Certainly for me, you know, I wasn't always involved in politics or community, you know, groups and stuff until the 2016 election when I really, you know, was disappointed with the result, obviously, but said to myself, you know, politics is local and I have to get involved. I have to be a part of something. And I did it.
Wow. So would you suggest that people do the same?
Yes. I think, you know, just, you know, obviously be, you know, educate yourself about what's going on in the city of Albany, because what's going on in the South End, the West Hill, that matters to everybody. We are in this together. We're, you know, so I believe, you know, we're one Albany and we have to, you know, have that mindset. So yeah, you have to know what's going on in the city and just,
okay.
You know, that's my perspective.
That's a really good perspective. So what's coming down the pike?
So next week I got the Thursday event, the citizen disaster preparedness. And then Monday night I have my my full interview with the full Common Council at the caucus, and hopefully if mm-hmm. they vote in favor of me, they'll hopefully maybe Monday night I'll get appointed to the board. So,
well, good luck.
Thank you. Hey, is WCAA, are they meeting on Tuesday?
Yes, every Tuesday at Grand Street. Are you planning on coming back down?
I think I might. It's Tuesday at 7, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If nothing else conflicts, I could come down.
And it's a good group, and we have new leadership, and we're progressing. We're progressing very well. So I'm happy about that. Yeah. So you
Excellent.
Have been... Yep, you've been listening to Zach Simpson talking about what's going on in the city of Albany. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smart home, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. And I want to tell everybody, all the ladies listening to me, I have created a new Facebook group called Women Who Inspire. It's a group for and about women. So if you want to inspire somebody, if you want to be inspired, please join Women Who Inspire on Facebook. Thank you. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Cynthia. Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.